Hi, everybody. Are we ready? Who's ready for a meeting? Has everybody peed? Who's going to have to get up and pee? Hunchbacks? You let hunchbacks in here? Okay. Are you back ready there? Okay. All right, folks. My name's Mickey Bush, and I'm a fully conceited alcoholic. Hi. Well, we had a good break. I'm going to take this second half of the next 45 minutes or so. There's a microphone here for questions and answers at some point. I don't know whether it works or not. I haven't tried it. But anyway, there'll be a question and answer period, I hope, at the end of the meeting. And if you ask a question, I'll give you the answer, or at least double talk you into thinking I got an answer. Yeah, but anyway, in the first half, excuse me. God. Cigarettes. In the first half, just to recap, I spent, you know, a best part of an hour talking about the step before the steps, which most people seem to ignore. You know, I've got to understand what it is about me that makes me alcoholic. And people say, oh, you don't need to understand, just admit it, just admit it. And, you know, they say that because they don't know how to explain it, that's right. Semantics and, you know, all the other stuff that denies what we got to do and what we got to find out. I got to have an understanding of what's wrong with me. And I didn't know that. So I know what it is about me that makes me alcoholic, because I'm physically and mentally different than my fellows, and I have a disease called alcoholism. It's a twofold disease. Many people think it's a threefold, but I'll touch on that in the second step. But, you know, I got my alcohol changes my perception of reality, and I want to change in perception of reality because I can't stand reality. Now, all of this, I don't know about all this when I'm growing up. Like when I started drinking, I didn't sort of say to myself, I'm going to start drinking because I can't stand reality and I want to change in perception of reality. I didn't know that. I didn't know anything about any of this. I found out about it here when I went over the stuff, when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous and uncover, discover, discard, to discover. Like that stuff I was talking about as a child. I didn't know all that. I hadn't thought about any of that. But, you know, later on when we came to fourth step and we got into causes and conditions and stuff of that nature, then, you know, I started doing this stuff and I started being taught this stuff. So it's just worth it. That's why I say that. So we learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost self that I'm alcoholic. I learned that. I fully concede to my innermost self. I know what my innermost self is. I know what it means to be an alcoholic, and I can fully concede to my innermost self so that I don't have to rely on two things, memory and knowledge. It's a done deal. So now I can get on with the fact of come tethered to 12 steps. We've got a 12-step spiritual program starting with step one. Now, I was talking at the break to a man who's many, many years sober here, and I asked him about the first step of the 12, and he didn't know. He didn't know what powerless meant. He thought he did. He said he did. And he said he was 12 years sober. Now, I don't care what he thinks it is. I don't care if he thinks it means standing on the corner with his thumb stuck up his butt. I don't care. Whatever he thinks it is, he knows how to stay sober doing it. So I don't care what he believes in it. But I do care. Don't want to disturb anybody over there. We're not disturbing you, are we? Oh. See, I do care what he's passing on to the new guy who perhaps gonna die. See? So it's very important. See, even on a pile of shit, a flower will grow. So I don't care if somebody's staying sober and don't know Dick. You know? I do care about our message, our path. See? So this is why I do what I do, and this is why I stand up here and take a risk all over the world, as a matter of fact, saying what I say. And what I'm going to say to you, you perhaps haven't heard before and perhaps won't hear again, because I don't know anybody else who's saying what I'm about to say to you. I know most of the heavy hitters and I know most of the speakers, but I don't hear them say what I'm about to say to you about powerlessness, etc. There's only one other person that I know that's put it close to what I say, and that's Father Martin, who did... Come on, get it over with. Come on, what do you want? Ivor, is Ivor here? Can we carry on now? Oblivious. Fucking oblivious he was. See, Father Martin, he said, he went to God and he asked God, what you have all of, I have none of, can I have some, please? And he was talking about power. Now, he's the only man, and we were friends, he died just recently, Father Martin, wonderful man. And when I was trying to discover some of this stuff, I was trying to discover what was going on and what to do about it. And I started asking people what powerless over alcohol meant. And you know what? They didn't know. I didn't know. I didn't know what powerless over alcohol meant. And I asked a lot of people. You know what happened? People told me what the results of being powerless were. They told me what the consequences of being powerless were. They told me what happened to them because they were powerless, but they didn't know what powerless was. They thought, believed, and said they did. And they repeated things that they heard in Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. But they didn't know. And I didn't know. And I needed to know. It was the first thing about the first step in a program that I'm going to depend on to save my life, being a real alcoholic. So I wanted to know what it was. And the first of the 12 steps, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that my life had become unmanageable. The first thing I noticed about that step was that it was written in the past tense. We admitted we were powerless, that my life had become unmanageable. Not that I am powerless and it is unmanageable. And I hear people walking around Alcoholics Anonymous claiming they're powerless. Powerless, powerless, everybody's powerless, poor little powerless, powerless over everything, powerless over people, places and things, powerless, powerless, powerless. I don't know what the hell they're talking about. I just had a run-in with a guy, 33 years sober. He talks all the time and he says that he's as powerless today as the day that he walked into Alcoholics Anonymous. He's as powerless today as the day he walked... Here goes another one. Shall I come back tomorrow? I mean... All right now? Good. See, he's as powerless today as the day that he walked in, 33 years ago. And I say, why do you say that? Because it's true, he said. Because it's true. I'm as powerless today as the day I walked in 33 years ago. I said, why do you say that? Powerless over alcohol. I said, okay then, what do you do about it? He said, I pray to God. I said, what? He said, I pray to God. God is my understanding. I said you were powerless. That's right, he said, powerless over alcohol. I said, I asked you what you did about it. You said you prayed to God. He said, that's right, pray to God, my understanding. I said, well, make your mind up. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, if you're powerless, you ain't got a God to pray to. And if you got a God to pray to, you ain't powerless. You can't have it both ways. He said, well, we all know you're weird. I said, I may be weird, but I ain't weird enough to listen to your crap. 33 years sober, walking around in Alcoholics Anonymous, claiming you're powerless, 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 powerless. You know, poor little powerless. Powerless over people, places and things. Being powerless over people, places and things is not only not true, but it has nothing to do with nothing. Being powerless over people, places and things has nothing to do with nothing. And it ain't true. Because a good alcoholic knows that I do have some power sometimes over some things. Correct? Correct?
Yeah!
Sometimes I can manipulate you into doing what I want you to do. Sometimes I can coerce you into doing my bidding. Sometimes I can get what I want from you. Sometimes you can get what you want from me. So I do have some power sometimes over some things. Rolf and I had the power to drive here today. I had the power to wear this shirt. You may not like it. But I got it. See, I do have some power sometimes over some things. See? Now, if I confuse that type of powerlessness to the powerlessness that I must fully concede to my innermost self about alcohol, where drinking is concerned, I'm screwed. If I think that even I have the smallest amount in and of myself, I have the smallest amount of power over alcohol, I'm screwed. Because if I leave just a small tiny gap for that disease to come barging through, it'll come back through with a whole computer bank of evidence to barge down my defences. So I have to completely slam the door. I can't afford to confuse the powerlessness over alcohol with this crap that you hear about powerless over people, places and things. But it's nothing to do with nothing. Everybody is and isn't powerless over people, places and things. Nothing to do with alcoholism. You think the Pope ain't powerless over wearing that hat? You know? You think Granny Clampett ain't powerless over Jethro? You know, you think that Russian dude with the big purple blob on his head, you know, that guy with the purple blob on his head, you think he ain't powerless over purple blobs? You think he don't look himself in the shower one morning and go, how come I got a bloody purple papad hat on me head? Powerless over people, nothing to do with alcoholism, but we have people walking around here quoting stuff as if it does. Powerless over alcohol. Now, what is that? What does it mean to be powerless over alcohol? I wanted to know. It was the first thing about the first step in a program that I'm going to depend on to save my ass. So I wanted to know. And it had to be more than what happened to me because I was powerless. I mean, because I'm powerless, one's too many and a thousand ain't enough. Because I'm powerless, I can't control and enjoy my drinking. But I got news for you. To control it, you've got to be doing it. And if you're doing it, you're already screwed. So it has to be more than the C word, the control word. See, powerless over alcohol. Well, I didn't know what that meant. And I wanted to find out what it meant. I wanted to know what it meant. I wanted to know and understand so that I could get a grasp of what was wrong with me and what to do about it. And this was... we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that my life had become unmanageable. Well, what did that mean? I worked out an equation. Powerless equals no power. Well, in the beautiful book Alcoholics Anonymous, it said, there is one who has all power, that one is God, may you find him now. Does it say that or not?
Yeah.
There's one who has all power, that one is God, may you find him now. Well, if I got to find him, it means I ain't got him. And if he's the source and he's the power over everything, and I'm powerless over alcohol, it must mean powerless equals no power, God equals power, therefore powerless equals godless. When I get to Alcoholics Anonymous, I have no power in my life. Call it God, Jesus, Buddha, Allah, Muhammad, or anything else that you want to call it. And we don't care what you call it. Call it bloody Mashikanovich if you like. Nobody cares. But I don't have it when I get here to Alcoholics Anonymous on January the 15th, 1983. I am helpless, hopeless, and powerless when it comes to alcohol. Not people, places and things and other things like that. I'm powerless over alcohol. When I get to Alcoholics Anonymous, I haven't arrived here with the fellowship yet, because right here is a power greater than me, but I'm not here yet. When I get here, I have no power in my life to resist the demands of the disease that I'm in the grips of, a twofold disease, obsession of the mind, allergy of the body. I'm in the grips of a fatal progression. Progressive disease, and I have to do what it wants me to do, which is drink, and I have no power to resist its demands. Now, I don't know that. How do I know that? How am I going to work that out? I don't know even what that is. I don't know that I'm powerless over alcohol. I don't even know what powerless means. What it means is I have no power. I have no God in my life. G-O-D, group of drunks, good old dude, you know, go on dreaming, you know, whatever you want to call it. I don't have it when I get here. And when I get here, I'm in the grips of a fatal disease, a disease so powerful. This disease that I got is so powerful, it has got me to abandon the God that I believed in and what I know of and what I was raised in. This disease is so powerful, whatever form of God you may believe in, it gets you to abandon that disease way long before you get here. The disease doesn't get me to abandon the disease, it gets me to abandon God and the spirituality. See, the disease is so strong and so powerful that long before I get here, years before the onset of untreated alcoholism, the disease gets me to abandon God and spirituality, so that along the path of life, sometimes quickly and sometimes slowly, the disease becomes all-powerful in my life, dictating and dominating everything I say, do, think and feel, and in and of myself I am helpless, hopeless and powerless to resist its demands, and I have to do what it wants me to do, which is drink. And I can't not drink just because I don't want to, because this disease that I'm so powerless over makes me do it even though I don't want to do it. And I have no power to resist its demands, because the disease, years before I got here, got me to abandon God and spirituality, which is the source of the power over everything. See? And in and of myself, I have no God in my life to resist its demands. You think I knew that when I got here? Powerless is godless. Whatever form of God you've got, we don't mind. Whatever, in the beautiful book Alcoholics Anonymous, it says he can choose any concept of God he likes, provided it makes sense to him. That's a condition, my friends. This book that says of itself, our book is meant to be suggestive only. May a bloody well meant to be suggestive only, but it ain't. It's got clear-cut, precise instructions, directions and rules to follow. He can choose any concept of God he likes, provided it makes sense to him. So we have to find something that makes sense to me, that I can depend upon, that I can rely on at 2 o'clock in the morning when them demons are screaming and my arse is in a sling and I got a drink so bad it's ripping my guts out. I better have something that makes sense to me that I can depend upon to save my arse, and that something better be something more than the fact that I don't want to do it. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Anybody ever been in that position where you've got to drink so bad? That's what alcoholism does. And I better have something that makes sense to me, and that something, you know, better make sense to me. But not some yin of the yang, zen of the zoo, sky pilot, or whatever else you want to talk about. It better make sense. And people say, oh, it doesn't matter what it is, just da-da-da-da-da-da, and all the other lip-flapping party line bullshit that goes on around here. It better make sense. And I didn't know that I was separated from it, and that I was bankrupt from it, and that I was like defeated by it, which is the spiritual malady. See, the spiritual malady is the separation from the spirit. The spiritual malady is that the disease, I'm bankrupt as far as spirituality is concerned. The disease has got me to abandon God and spirituality and defeated my spirituality and separated me from the spirit. That's why there's no third factor. People say it's a threefold disease, but it can't be a threefold disease. Every known medical association in the world recognizes alcoholism addiction as a twofold illness: obsession of the mind, allergy of the body, mental and physical. Not one recognizes it as a spiritual sickness. There's no such thing as a spiritual sickness. I was talking at the break with a couple of members. It says in the beautiful book Alcoholics Anonymous on page 64. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stem all forms of spiritual disease. What is a spiritual disease? Anybody got one? Anybody seen one? Anybody know what one is? A spiritual disease? A disease spirit? A disease God? What is a diseased God? For we have not only been mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. How can you be spiritually sick? What, have you got a sick spirit? You got a diseased God? Well, if you've got a diseased God and you reconnect with it, you're going to be screwed. How can you have a diseased God or a sick spirit? No, there's me that's sick because I'm separated from the spirit. There's me that's sick because the disease has got me to abandon God and spirituality so that I have no God and spirituality in my life. There's me that's sick that when I reconnect and make a conscious contact with the spirit, I straighten out mentally and physically because it's a spiritual solution, not a spiritual problem. It can't be both. We can't have a spiritual problem and a spiritual solution. It's one or the other. And when I straighten out when I reconnect spiritually, I straighten out mentally and physically. I haven't got a diseased spirit or a diseased God. I'm sick and diseased because I'm separated from God. I mean, if you've got VD, if you've got a venereal disease, if you've got the clap, and you need penicillin, but you ain't got no penicillin, do you go around saying, I got a penicillin disease? That wouldn't make any sense, would it? That's dumb. So if I haven't got any spirituality, why do I go around saying I got a spiritual disease? That's dumb. I got to reconnect with the spirit, and when I reconnect with the spirit, I straighten out physically and mentally. How do I reconnect with the spirit? We reconnect with the spirit by something that's not mentioned in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's called hitting bottom. Now, I don't know whether you guys talk about hitting bottom here in Denmark, but we do over there, and most people have no idea what it means. They think, believe, and say they do. Bill Wilson never wrote anything about hitting bottom in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. But more was revealed to Bill, the same as more will be revealed to us. In the 12 and 12 that we don't have up here today, but in the very first step, he says, while this insistence that every alcoholic must hit bottom first. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody read the 12 and 12? Yeah, it's in there for step one. Bill Wilson insists that every alcoholic must hit bottom first. Now, that's some ballsy crap to say to a bunch of drunks who don't like authority and don't like being told what to do. We insist that every alcoholic must hit bottom first. Yeah, well, hit bottom on this, Father Mucker. You know. But that's how important it is, you see. Hitting bottom is the process that brings us back to the power we've abandoned to ask for help. And I didn't even know that I'd abandoned the power. Hitting bottom is the same for all of us, not different. I know in our meetings and other places we say everybody's bottom's different, but that's people who don't understand what hitting bottom is. And most people have no idea what hitting bottom is, though they think, believe, and say they do, and I didn't. And I went around asking people, like powerless and being alcoholic, what does it mean to hit bottom? What does hitting bottom mean? Do you know what they told me? They told me the consequences and the results of untreated alcoholism in their life. They told me the consequences and the results of drinking and drugging in their life at the tail end of their drinking. They told me the outside circumstances and conditions that their life was in when they got here. You know, hitting bottom is not about the outside circumstances and conditions of our life. We think, believe, and say it is, but it's not. Hitting bottom is the same for all of us. Yours was the same as mine. Mine is the same as yours. Ours is the same as theirs. I know that we say in meetings everybody's bottom's different, but people don't understand that. See, hitting bottom is the same. There's no unity in being different. Hitting bottom is the same. Yours is the same as mine. And when I say what I'm about to say, you will relate. I know it. How do I know it? Because you're here. That's how I know it. So he must have been there because you're here. See, look, hitting bottom, far from it being what we believe it to be, and when I ask people what hitting bottom is, you'd be amazed what I get told. You know, hitting bottom is not about the outside circumstances and conditions our life are in. Hitting bottom is an inside job, not an outside circumstance. And I ask people all the time, and they tell me about, well, the wife left me, the kids are gone, I'm living in an abandoned car, I'm in detox, I'm in prison, I'm locked up in jail, I'm diseased, all the things in their outside circumstances and conditions. I lost my job, I lost my career, you know. That's not what hitting bottom is. That's the outside circumstances and conditions of our life. Hitting bottom's an inside job, not an outside circumstance. And the danger of believing that hitting bottom is the outside circumstances and conditions of our life is that as those outside circumstances and conditions get better and improve, we falsely believe we've gotten better and improved and drink again. Anybody know what I'm talking about? She comes back in my life, I get the job back, got a career back, got money in the bank, I'm sitting pretty. You're not really an alcoholic. And I think I'm doing good. Hitting bottom's an inside job. I asked a couple here just before I came here. This little guy and girl, they're good members. They want to stay clean and sober. I asked them what their bottom was. I said to this little girl, I said to her, what was your bottom, love? It's important that we understand hitting bottom because it's the process that brings us back to the power we've abandoned. Have you hit bottom? She said, oh, yes. I said, what was your bottom? She said, I was feet to the curb, hustling the Broadway, prostituting myself, trying to earn a dollar so I could get loaded. I said, that wasn't your bottom. She said, well, I think it was. I said, I don't care what you think. I said to her, dude, I said, what was your bottom, pal? Oh, he said, I know what that was. He said, I was locked up in a penitentiary, married to Bubba. I said, that wasn't your bottom. He said, it felt like it was. You got bad minds, I swear to God. You got bad minds. See, hitting bottom isn't about that outside stuff. Hitting bottom is the same. Hitting bottom is that time that happened to me on January the 15th, 1983. I remember it so clearly. I didn't know what I was saying, and I didn't know who I was saying it to, and I didn't know what the results of what I was saying was going to be. But in desperation and despair, I can remember going, help me, please help me, what's wrong with me? And asked for help from outside of myself. ASK, Ask Saving Kit. Help, H-E-L-P, His Ever-Loving Presence. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And you know what? Though the disease had gotten me to abandon God, God hadn't abandoned me. And when I turned back to him and asked for help, he seemed to be looking over my shoulder and he seemed to say to me, Mick, you silly bastard. I've been waiting for you to ask. Now get yourself over that 12-step fellowship. Sent me to you. I asked for help. And he sent me to you. Because here was the power he provided for an alcoholic of my kind, your kind, our kind, the beautiful book says. Here was a power greater than me that would enable me to not have to drink today. Here it was. Me plus you. Hope everything comes out all right. Me plus you is a power greater than me. You plus us is a power greater than you. Together we can do what I couldn't do. I couldn't stay sober, you couldn't stay sober, but together we could stay sober. And I read in the Bible. I like the Bible, you know, nothing wrong with the Bible. B-I-B-L-E, being informed before leaving earth. Nothing wrong with the Bible. You know. I like the Bible. Nothing wrong with the Bible as long as you don't want to treat your alcoholism with it, because the Bible don't treat alcoholism. But in the Bible it said, when any two are gathered in my name, there I will be in your midst. And I went, wow, that's what we do in Alcoholics Anonymous. Two alcoholics come together for the purpose of recovery, the third factor, And God comes in our midst and produces a power greater than either of us. So it's produced by us, but it's greater than us, and we can absolutely depend upon it to not have to drink today, and we can utilize the power even if we don't understand the power. Long before we understand the power, we can utilize the power. That's why I thank AA for the power, and I thank the power for AA. I never had it when I got here. I mean, you guys tried to help me. You said, let go and let God. I said, what? You said, turn it over to God. I said, what? You said, pray to God. I said, fuck off. If I pray to him, he'll know where I am. I weren't going to pray to no God that was going to get me. God was going to get me. They said, God will get you for that. God will get you for that. God will get you for that. I couldn't even play with the old ding-a-ling, for Christ's sake. They said, don't you play with that. God will strike you blind. Do you remember this? Will you tell an alky like me not to do something? And of course he will. So I did. When I found out how good it felt, I thought, well, I'll risk one eye. You know, but I mean, I never came in here with no God of my understanding or anybody else's understanding, but I came here and I learnt and I stuck around, I kept coming back, but I never had it when I got here. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol and my life had become unmanageable. In and of myself, I was helpless, hopeless and powerless, destitute in every department, you know, and under the grips of a powerful disease, a disease so powerful it got me to abandon God and spirituality so that it could become all powerful in my life, see? And I was helpless, hopeless and powerless to resist its demand. I hit bottom so devastatingly that I turned back to God and asked for help. God came back in my life and sent me to you. Here was a 12-step spiritual fellowship. In the fellowship, you introduced me to a big book, B-I-G-B-O-O-K. Believing in God beats our old knowledge. In the beautiful book was a program, P-R-O-G-R-A-M. People relying on God, relaying a message. Message, M-E-S-S-A-G-E. Me, step, sponsor, and God every day. Holy shit. It was a God-given gift, G-I-F-T, God is forever there. What for? G-I-F-T-S, get it from the steps. Wow. What do you mean, step? What do you mean, steps? S-T-E-P-S, solution to every problem, sober. Wow. Solution, S-O-L-U-T-I-O-N-S. Saving our lives using the inventory or needed steps. Holy shit. Wow, how do I find out about this? Well, you got to want it. You got to ask for it. What do you mean ask for it? ASK, ask saving kit. Holy shit, who shall I ask? Try a sponsor. Sponsor, what do you mean sponsor? S-P-O-N-S-O-R. Sober person offering newcomers suggestions on recovery. Wow. Newcomer, N-E-W-C-O-M-E-R. N-E-W-C-O-M-E-R. Nothing else worked. Completely out of manageability. Enter recovery. Holy shit. Well, have I got to do the steps? Yeah, you got to do the steps. Why have I got to do the steps? Well, if you don't do the steps and you want to quit drinking, you go crazy. You go nuts. What do you mean nuts? N-U-T-S. Not using the steps. That's what nuts that is about. Holy shit. Well, does everybody work the steps? No, not everybody works the steps. Well, why have I got to work them? Oh, you don't have to work them if you don't want to. Well, what'll happen if I don't work them? Well, go down there to Copenhagen, go and see them people down there not working the steps, walking around here full of crap. What do you mean, crap? C-R-A-P, carrying resentments against people. Yeah. Well, what happens then? Well, go down and see them, and you'll see them not working the steps, going crazy, going nuts. You know, what do they do that for? So they stay sober. What do you mean sober? S-O-B-E-R. Son of a bitch, everything's real. That's what sober is. Wow. Wow. Is that all there is? No, that ain't all there is. A beautiful book says elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. A far greater demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations and affairs. Well, I don't know about you folk here in Denmark, but us folk back there in LA, we have affairs. We're no good at them, but we don't give them up. Relationships. Anybody here good at relationships? I wrote a word for relationships. R-E-L-A-T-I-O-N-S-H-I-P. Relationships. Really exciting love affair turns into outrageous nightmare. Sobriety hangs in peril. So I was helpless, hopeless and powerless, but I'm not now. I've turned back to God. God's come back in my life. He sent me to you, spiritual fellowship. You introduced me to a big book with a program, with a design for living, a blueprint for life. Sponsories. I've got so much bloody power today, I don't know what to do with it, for Christ's sake. I said to my sponsor, what shall I do with all this power over alcohol? He said, give it away. Go out there to Copenhagen, give it to them. Don't worry, they won't want it. So now I'm reconnected with God and I'm back in the fold and I'm here with a power. Me plus you is a power greater than me. You plus us is a power greater than you. Together we can do what I couldn't do alone. I couldn't stay sober, you couldn't stay sober, but together we can stay sober. Step two. Now in step two it says, came to believe that a power greater than self could restore me to sanity. Well, guess what? I'm certified insane in 4 different countries. But guess what? They never once came and grabbed my ass and said, we're going to lock you up for repeating the same behaviour and expecting a different result. They didn't say that. You guys said that. And I went, whoa. Holy shit. They knew how to bash me up. They knew how to brutalise me. They knew how to shoot me up with tranks and zap me on electric machines and ostracise me from society and bash me and do all that. But they didn't know what was wrong with me. And they didn't know how to get through to me even if they did know what was wrong with me. See? And so I was locked up in insane asylums and institutions for the criminally insane, but that wasn't the insanity that we talked about in recovery. We talked about recovery, the insanity as being repeating the same behaviour and expecting a different result. Drinking! Anybody know what I'm talking about? For me to know what I know about my drinking history, for me to do that again is insane! Just like the jaywalker. Anybody remember the jaywalker? See, that's insane, isn't it? So, came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. Restoring me to sanity, if repeating the same behaviour and expecting a different result was insanity, to be restored to sanity meant not drinking. So here was a power greater than myself that would enable me to not have to drink today. And this power that we have in rooms like this all over the world is a power so great. In Alcoholics Anonymous, it will enable me to defeat the power of the disease so that I didn't have to drink. And here it was, right here, right now, in rooms like this. And we must have a power right here, right now, in rooms like this. Whatever that power may mean to you, you got it right here. Look, I don't know how many people are in here today. Must be 100, 150 maybe, I don't know. But there must be a power, mustn't there, right here, right now, in rooms like this. There must be a power right here, right now. Look, I'm in Copenhagen, right? I don't know where, but I'm here, you know. Now, I don't know Copenhagen very well, but I got a feeling that if we ain't got a power right here, right now, in rooms like this, and we suffer from a disease that we're powerless over, that makes me do what I already don't want to do, and if I ain't got a power to counteract that power, and when I walk out of here, if I ain't got a power to counteract the power of the disease, I'm going to have to do what the disease wants me to do, which is drink. I got a feeling Copenhagen ain't ready for 100 or 150 alkies to go out and get drunk today. So there must be a power, mustn't there? Whatever that power that you got to believe in is perfectly okay with us, because we've learnt some shit around here. We've learnt, for example, that whatever you believe in, no matter what that power is okay with us, because we've learnt, for example, that As the beautiful book says, he can choose any concept of God he likes, provided it makes sense to him. So if there's 100 different concepts of God in this room, we don't care what it is. You can have a Catholic God, a Jewish God, a Hindu God, a Muslim God, you can have a leg of the chair God, you can have a doorknob God, you can have a sea God, you can have a pair of tits God, you can have any kind of God you like. Nobody cares. Why? Because all the gods have got at least one thing in common. Know what that is? All the gods send their alkies here, don't they? All the gods send their alkies here, because here's the power they provided for an alkie to not have to drink today. This power that we have here is of God and from God and provided by God. But it ain't God. It's provided by God for us alkies, but there's a lot more to God than the power he provides alkies to not have to drink. That unmanageability that we talk in the first step is the thinking side of the twofold disease. I can't sit down at a desk and work out my affairs and pay my bills and live my life. But I can today. See, I've been restored to sanity. And here I have a power. Now, with this power that's of God and from God and provided by God but ain't God, that's why in the third step, we can turn our will and our life over to the care of God as I've understood God. Why? Because it says so, made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I've understood God. Well, I got Bill Wilson on tape where he defines it in 1 and 2, so he named it in 3. Coming out of his own mouth, he says, I defined it in 1 and 2, so I named it in 3, and I named it God because I was okay with God. But if you're not okay with God, call it whatever the hell you like. Nobody cares. That's why this power works for atheists and works for agnostics, works for all alkies if you'd be an alcoholic of our kind. You see, and I can make a decision to turn my will and my life. What is my will and my life? My will is my thinking, my life is my actions. My will is my thinking, my life is my actions. But it has to be more than just for today, because I've got to stay sober today and I've got to live in the now, N-O-W, no other way, because I'm new, N-E-W, nothing else worked. But I can't live in the now because I've got guilt, shame and remorse from yesterday. And I've got to live in the now, but I can't live in the now dragging around all this guilt, shame, remorse from yesterday. And I've got to live in the now, but I can't live in the now because I've got fear, worry and anxiety about tomorrow. I've got to live in the now, but I've got guilt, shame, remorse from yesterday, and I've got fear, worry and anxiety about tomorrow. But I've got to live in the now. So that's why I turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I've understood God. Because I've got to live in the now, but it has to be everything I have done, am doing and will do, everything I wish I'd done, would like to be doing and hope I'll do in a 3-part section. So that I can live in the now without carrying guilt, shame, remorse and fear, worry and anxiety. So that I can be new, just concentrating on today, not drinking today. And in the beautiful book, it's different to the step. In the book, it says right after the ABCs, now we're at step 3, what does this mean? That we turned our will and our life over to God. Well, I made the mistake of doing that. I turned my will and my life over to God. Guess what? God turned it back and said, I don't want it. I gave it to you. What are you giving it back to me for? I don't want it. Because in the step, it says, made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. A totally different thing. Though often confused. I found that out about my white Jaguar sports car. I got a white Jaguar sports car in LA. 12-cylinder, XJS, white Jaguar sports car. I'm a limey, for Christ's sake. I'm in America. I'm a happening dude. I lash about in my white Jaguar sports car. 12 steps, 12 traditions, 12 cylinders. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah. But it's a limey piece of shit is what it is. It's a Jaguar and they break down. Jaguars break down. And when it breaks down, I take it back to the mechanic I got it for and put it in his care for fixing and repair. But I don't give the bastard my car. It's my car. I own it. I'm responsible for it. DMV look for me for payment and registration for it. But I put it in his care for fixing and repair. Now, when I put my car in his care for fixing and repair, what do you think he wants me to do? No. What he wants me to do after I put my car in his care for fixing and repair, he wants me to turn round and piss off out of his shop. He don't want me lurking around, and he don't want me making suggestions. And he certainly don't want me helping him. He wants me to get the hell out of his shop and let him get on with his work. Guess what? I think God wants me to do that as well. When I turn to him for his strength, inspiration, direction, it's no good me then doing what I want to do. When I turn in desperation to God and ask for help, it's no good me asking him for help and then doing what I want to do. I see that all the time. People say, oh, I desperately asked for help, but I still got drunk. Yeah, because you didn't do what God presented you with you. It's the same with them relationships. I'm obsessed over her, over him. Miss Right or Miss Right Now. You know, God, help me. I'm so obsessed. I can't think of nothing else. I can't work. I'm just desperate. She's driving me crazy. Help me relieve the obsession. Well, it's no good me asking God for his strength, inspiration, and direction and then doing what I want to do. Like, oh, hello, love. I thought I'd give you a little call, see how you're doing. Oh, I'm doing great. I screwed the Arsenal football team yesterday. I don't want to hear that. Screw Manchester United, but not Arsenal. See, so if I ask God for his strength, inspiration, direction, I've got to then do what he wants me to do. And what he wants me to do is what he wants you to do, because I know God's will for me. God's will for me is to be clean and sober, happy, joyous and free. I'm one of his kids. He wants me to be clean and sober, happy, joyous and free. And in the first chapter of the first step in the 12 and 12, it says, we have warped our mind in such an obsession for destructive drinking that only an act of providence can remove it. An act of providence is where God didn't create it and could have prevented it, but he don't. He allows it in order to bring good from it. God don't protect me from the storm. He protects me in the storm. You see, and that's what I have here. I have a way out that I can absolutely depend upon. I've understood it in step 3. Understood is a past tense word. I know people say understand, but it ain't. It's understood. I've understood it because the understanding comes from step 1, 2, and 3. And all I've really done in step 1, 2, and 3, and I've got to wrap this up, unfortunately, but all I've done is I've decided that I can't do it, he can do it, so I'm going to let him. And that's all we're really doing, really. You know, we're just getting out the hell of the way. When I got here to Alcoholics Anonymous, my life was in ruins. Today, my life's in perfect running order. The only difference between run and ruin is what? I. When I got here, my life was in ruins. R-U-I-N. Today, it's in perfect running order. R-U-N. The only difference between run and ruin is I. If I take the word run and put a big fat I in there, it turns to ruin. If I take ruin and remove I, it turns to run. And that's what happens in Alcoholics Anonymous. If we stick together doing this, being a small part of this great whole, I can become a small part of a great whole, a contributing member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I love that. And God's will for me is to be clean and sober, happy, joyous and free. God wants that for you too. If you don't know what God's will for you is, I do. I know what God's will for you is, same as God's will for me. God wants his alcoholic kids to be clean and sober, happy, joyous and free. And if you've got a God who don't want that for you, get rid of the bastard. My telephone number in the United States is 818 area code, are you sober? 818, are you, like Toys R Us, S-O-B-E-R. And I love hearing from you. There's several people here that have called me in the past, and I love hearing from you. And I love being a small part of this great whole. I'm going to stick around. I ain't going nowhere. I'm staying right here, right now. How long have we got on this tape? How long have we been yakking it up for? 55 minutes? Oh, so we got some time. Because we got a question and answer. Does this work, this microphone? We can extend this a little bit if you want to. How are we doing? It's 6:05. Have we got some time? Do you want to go on or what? What? Anybody got any questions? Q&A? No? God, I'm good. All right, let's see. Let's play Stump the Drunk. All right, go ahead. All right.
Yes, I can, but...
Talk into the mic because it won't go on the CD.
Can you explain that a little more deeply? didn't fully concede to my innermost self. I don't really understand the word concede in Danish.
It's why I just gave the example of the German army, you know, where they were defeated, they admitted that defeat, they accepted that defeat and they surrendered. But they didn't fully concede, so they came back and done it again. When we fully concede, it's a done deal, to the stone, no argument, no debate, no discussion. But admittance, acceptance and surrender ain't. I can admit something today and deny it tomorrow. I can accept it today and refute it tomorrow. I can surrender today, but give me an Uzi and a box of ammo and come on, big boy. You know, so I can admit, accept and surrender, but it ain't the done deal. Fully concede to my innermost self is the done deal. And that's an inside job. That's like what I call the gut level honesty, or my friend Oost says, to the core of my being, where I can only go. You know, it does take a bit of understanding, because not a lot of people, maybe you're going to carry what I'm selling to you now, you're going to get an understanding, you're going to pass it on to some poor sick puke. Maybe some sick puke as sick as you. You dig what I'm saying? Good. That's why we need to talk about it. A lot of people are not understanding that. No one's talking about it. Yes, anybody else?
Yeah, hello. Hello. My name is Morten. I'm an alcoholic.
Hello, Morten.
It was nice to hear you. I also got a question about the conceit thing.
Good.
Because actually I don't really know what the word means, but... is it the same kind of thing as if you have a hot stove, then everybody here knows that if we put a hand into the flame, it hurts.
Yes.
We don't need to think about it.
Right.
Is it a bit the same kind of
yes.
thing?
Yes. Yes. They talk about that as if withdrawing from a hot flame. Now, I couldn't talk you into, like, putting your hand in a hot flame, could I?
You
I
could mean, pay
it,
me.
It,
you
it
could
wouldn't,
pay me.
Wouldn't, no. I wouldn't be able to do that. You would refute that. Yeah, I mean, even from a baby, when you're a baby in your mum's arms, she's talking, she's teaching you. Even when she's feeding you, she's blow on your food. You know, blow, blow, blow. Hot, hot, burny, burny, you know. And you learn, hot, burns. Don't put your hand on a hot stove. Now, if Mickey Bush comes along and says, oh, you silly bastard, Morten, you're putting your right hand in. You can't put your right hand in, you've got to put your left hand in. It don't burn left hands. Put your left hand in. You'd go piss off, I ain't putting nothing in, wouldn't you? And if I said, oh yeah, don't put your hand in, put your feet in. Put your feet in. Put your feet in the flame, it don't burn feet. You'd say, well, you get the hell away from me, I ain't putting nothing in, it's going to burn. Because it's indelibly imprinted in the mind, isn't it? Hot, it's done. And that's what we got to get where it comes to alcoholism. We got to get to that indelible point in my mind where it's an absolute done deal. No argument, no debate, no discussion, no voices can get through. Nothing can penetrate that fully conceded error around me. Learn from it.
So is it also a little bit like... Sorry, I have another follow-up thing, but is it also a little bit like you say that you don't have any animosity against the flame because you don't give a shit, you just don't put your hand into it?
That's right.
Is it a bit that?
Yes, right. It's nothing wrong with booze, nothing wrong with booze, but nothing wrong with booze unless you're allergic to it.
Exactly.
If you're allergic to it, you better not drink it.
Yeah.
It's like penicillin. Nothing wrong with penicillin, it's a wonder drug unless you're allergic to it. If you're allergic to penicillin and you go into an accident and they give you a shot of penicillin and you're allergic to it, you go into a coma and die. Nothing wrong with penicillin. Nothing wrong with hot flames, unless you don't want to get burnt. Nothing wrong with alcohol. Alcohol's a social lubricant. That's why we don't have an alcohol problem. We have an alcoholism problem. A totally different thing. An alcohol problem is cured by stopping drinking. Alcoholics who just stop drinking... Do they get better? Do they get cured? We get worse, not better. I was talking to Rolf the other day. We were talking about Hitler. We were in one of the concentration camps. Hitler, as a young man, went out with his friends and got blind, paralytic drunk. And in the morning, he had the worst hangover you could possibly have. And he said, screw that. I ain't doing that no more. And he didn't. He didn't do it again. So if you want an example of an alcoholic who just stops drinking... Nothing wrong with alcohol. Nothing wrong, unless you're allergic to it. And that we have to learn about. Anybody else? Come on, let's play stump the drunk. There's two, three here. Look, three ladies. What did he say?
I said mic's only for recording.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't like taking exceptions with the big book, you know, but I do have one exception that's been very painful for me for many years in okay. AA, and that is that it says somewhere, I don't remember the number of the page, but it says that alcoholics are completely normal and accountable in all other senses but when they drink alcohol. And, you know, that's not my...
What's wrong?
Thank you.
Book's wrong.
Thank you.
Page 24.
Thank you.
Page 22, actually. It says, perhaps we will never be full... Perhaps there never will be a full answer to these questions. Opinions vary considerably as to why the alcoholic reacts differently from normal people. We are not sure why. Once a certain point is reached, little can be done for him. We cannot answer the riddle. We know that while the alcoholic keeps away from drink, as he may do for months or years, he reacts much like other men. Bullshit.
Thank you.
Is that... What? No shit. Yeah, no shit. See, we don't react that much like other men, drunk or sober. Physically and mentally different, you see. I had a guy in my treatment centre. He said, oh, I'm out of here, Mick. I said, what do you mean you're out of here? He said, well, I'm much like other men. It says so in the book. I'm 60 days sober. He said, I'm much like other men. I'm cured. I said, what do you mean you're cured, you sick bastard? He said... Book says I'm much like other men. Well, I'm 60 days sober. I'm much like other men. I'm sober now. I'm out of here. 4 months. Died. Went to Vegas. Got involved. Much like other men. Book's wrong. People don't like hearing the book's wrong. Even Joe and Charlie, when I went over to these sort of things, because they hiccup and pass things like this over. I said, why don't you talk about it? He said, well, we don't like being controversial and we don't like... I said, you bloody fence sitters. You know? Anyway, yeah, but that is true. We're not like other men, drunk or sober. We have to realise that too. You know. Next, anybody? Next, there was someone here. Yes. Here.
Hi, my name is Amanda. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi. My question is, can you talk a little bit more about... the hitting of the bottom, because you said that it was turning to God that was the real part.
Hitting bottom, yeah, not mentioned in the program, but is mentioned on page 186 when Bill and Bob are doing the third man on the bed. Hitting bottom, HITBOTTOM. Hurting inside, totally burnt out, turned to our master. See, hitting bottom is the process that brings us back to the power we've abandoned, to ask for help. See, the disease has gotten me to abandon God and spirituality, whatever concept you've got of that. And I haven't got it in my life when I get here to Alcoholics Anonymous. But in desperation and despair, I scream out and ask for help. And I'm asking the power greater than myself that I've abandoned, that never abandoned me. Hit bottom. HITBOTTOM. Hurting inside, totally burnt out, turn to our master. Now, I don't know any alcoholics that came to Alcoholics Anonymous happy, joyous and free. Do you? And that's the process. And it's so important, it's not mentioned in the program, and yet it's so important, in step one of the 12 and 12, Bill insisted that every alcoholic must hit bottom first. And I wish I had the 12 and 12 here to quote it from you, but you'll have to believe me that it says that. You know. Lady back there. 1, 2, 3. There was someone back there? Yes, okay. Speak up, Teen.
Okay, you were talking something about you were a blackout drinker and you didn't know what a blackout was.
Yes.
Can you explain a little bit?
Yes, I learned it here. A blackout was direct result of drinking. And I didn't know what a blackout was. And I didn't know that you did things in a blackout that you didn't remember. I've been having blackouts all my life and didn't know what one was. Are there any miracle drinkers in the room? One miracle drinker? Okay. No miracle drinkers? Okay. Anybody ever go out drinking and have a miracle develop in front of their very eyes? Anybody ever go out drinking and drink somebody good looking? See? See, I go out drinking and I have no control over the response that I'm going to have. I black out all over. I never even knew what a blackout was. And I've been having them all my life. It's a direct result of drinking. And what a blackout is one of the first physical signs of brain damage. Brain damage is not physically detectable. You can sit there crazy as a loon. Nobody's going to say anything to you till you get up and start acting crazy. But blacking out is one of the first physical signs of wet brain. And it never gets better. It only ever gets worse. And I blacked out. I came out of a blackout once walking down a street in Spain. I went out drinking in London. I was walking down the street in Spain. I went through, like, customs. I'd crossed a continent. And I was walking down the street with an Eskimo chick. Don't we find them? Don't we find them, us Alkies? You know, some days... You know, you go out drinking and you drink somebody good-looking and sometimes you wake up next to it in the morning. Have you ever done that? Wake up next to it. Some mornings you go, oh! Oh! Get out! Get out! Get out! Ugly, get out! She said to me, you get out, this is my house. Yeah. And by the same rules, I got released from a maximum security prison as physically clean and sober as I stand before you right now. I've been physically clean and sober. There is a total difference between sober and sobriety. Sobriety, S-O-B-R-I-E-T-Y. Staying off booze, recovery is everything to you. Sober is S-O-B-E-R, son of a bitch, everything's real. I've been physically clean and sober many, many times. But never had any sobriety. I came out of a maximum security prison where I'd been away for a long time. Within 6 weeks, having gone back to the old way of life that I knew, I came out of a blackout in chains in front of a judge on a murder charge, and I'd killed a man and I didn't know what I'd done. That's where blackout takes me. I don't go out drinking and have little slippy poos. I go out drinking and come out of blackouts in chains in front of judges on murder charges, not knowing what I've done. That's what we do. That's what blacking out is. There's many, many occasions. I'm sure you've got many stories yourself. How are we doing time-wise, my friend? How long we got?
We need to
cut. Okay, we got to wind this up. And we're going to do a seventh tradition for the sake of the hall and stuff. We must be self-supporting through our own contributions. So I hope you remember that. Namaste. God bless.